Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. And guess what? You don't have to die at the hands of a shape-shifting clown to join. No, all you have to do is tune in every Friday as us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. Each week, we'll either spend hours reading between the pages of one of his books or chew on his latest tweets and Hollywood headlines. What's more, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Mick Garris, Jerry O'Connell, Mary Lambert, Will Wheaton, and the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from today, hit that subscribe button right now so you can keep up with us. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with M. Ward. He gave us a new record, sort of a surprise release, called What a Wonderful Industry, and we're going to get into exactly what that title is about. The monsters, the heroes, and everything in between of this music industry. We also get a little update on his band's Monsters of Folk, and She and Him, and his inclusion in a new movie about Elvis Presley and America currently called The King. It's Kyle Meredith with M. Ward.
Hey, Kyle. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good.
The new record, What a Wonderful Industry. A nice surprise, a really fun record, and what looks to be an interesting story that everyone just keeps looking at that title with a little crooked eyebrow on. I'd like to start there. Is this a concept record? Would you call it that?
It's a collection of songs that are inspired by people I've met in the industry, and my hope is that it's an equal amount of heroes and villains getting their say and having their story in the story of the record, in the story of how I see the industry.
It might be worth asking if there's a way to pare it down. How do you see the industry? I mean, with a title like that, it seems like you might sort of lay on the, you know, not so impressed side versus the other.
Well, I am extremely fortunate to be playing music for a living. I have been so lucky just to be working with the people that I've worked with. But if I left it at that, it wouldn't be the full story. I think if you ask anybody who's in the music business or any business, any industry, I think it's important that the villain story be told for two main reasons. The first is that it makes you feel a little bit less isolated. You're not the only one who signed this terrible contract when you were a kid. And for another reason, I think it's good for the next generation to hear that story of something short-sighted that you did when you were a kid.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like it could be a cautionary tale for future musicians. I mean, it's an extremely interesting concept. I don't know. Was there a moment of inspiration where you said, that's exactly what I want to write about? I mean, how do you come up, like, this is not something that usually people tackle, you know, I guess?
Well, I'm always writing songs, and they're always inspired by everything. And so when it's time to make a record, I collect songs that seem to fit together in some way. There was a few things that triggered the idea that this actually could be all glued together, all these different characters, and this Robert Altman movie called The Player, which is a beautiful movie about his industry, the film industry, and it's populated with all these different characters, and it requires a lot of, not work, but enjoyable work on the viewer's side to put all these pieces together to try to say or to try to see what Robert Altman might be saying about the film industry. But that's the first thing that comes to mind, is that movie, The Player.
And, I mean, character-wise, you know, if the heroes are strung out, it's sort of hard not to notice maybe the villains first, because it does seem like the album is populated with monsters in several ways, whether you're referring to a wolfman or a shark or whatever it may be. What was your direction with that? Is that just part of kind of, you know, hiding the names from the story?
Well, I definitely didn't want to put any specific names on it. I think it's better if the songs speak more in metaphor than, throwing darts at somebody in specific, because, yeah, any artist you talk to, they could tell you somebody that took advantage of their naivete or innocence in the business. And, from my point of view, I enjoy hearing other people's stories of how they got to be where they are. And if you're talking to a real friend, they're not going to just skip over the parts that were challenging. I think a good friend would tell you the full story, which means the great people that they met, great places they went to, but also, you know, there was this one thing that happened, or there was this one guy that I signed a contract with or had to work with for one reason or another.
What would a bad contract look like? Because, you know, for most of us, we'll never know that world, I guess. But when you do talk about the upcoming musicians, like, what does a bad contract look like?
That's a great question. A bad contract would mean signing your songs or the rights to your songs away for 10, 20 years or the lifetime of your music. And it's when you're young, it's tricky because you're hungry and you're almost ready to sign anything, and you don't think that you should get a lawyer. And that's what a bad contract is.
Now, I notice this is self-released, this album right there. Whatever situation you were in, are you out of it? Are you able to walk away clean now?
I am. I'm very lucky that the worst people that I worked with are far behind me. And working with Merge, for example, has been incredible. And I hope no one is thinking that Merge is the subject of any of these songs, because they're definitely not. But at the moment, I'm between islands, and so it seemed like this is a good time to dive into this stream.
I love the whole thing, and I don't want to paint past the sound of it too, because there's a lot happening, you know, beyond just the lyrics of this. I mean, when it starts out and you have, you know, the arrival chorus, and I started thinking that it reminded me of one of the movies that's telling the story of real life in the 60s, like a movie now telling the story of real life in the 60s. Like, that's the way you would paint it. And I started thinking of, you know, that magical LA of the 60s, when everything was a little spacey and they were obsessed with the future and Jetsons and everything. Do you try to conjure an era when you're doing the sounds of these songs? Because, you know, the lyrics fit together, but I find that the music does as well.
Well, most of my inspiration comes from older records. It's been that way forever for me. I like your interpretation, by the way, of that song. And I think because I use analog gear, I feel like there's more space for it to be paired up with recordings from before I was born. And I like that. And when we're in the studio and I'm referencing guitar sounds or drum sounds or vocal sounds that I like, 9 times out of 10, it's something from before I was born.
Comes through like it. It might be kind of an easy seg to ask then about your involvement with the movie The King, because here you are riding in the back of Elvis Presley's Rolls Royce, right?
Yes. What an unusual invitation that was. About 4 years ago, I guess, I got invited to ride around in Elvis Presley's Rolls Royce and play some songs in the back seat. And I had no idea that Eugene Jarecki, the director, was going to weave the footage into this incredible film that he made. That is, it's hard to describe the scope of it, but if anyone is a fan of Elvis Presley or is concerned about the direction this country is going, I recommend that film.
And that's right there, what you said is sort of what hooked me in too, because that sounds like two very different things. If you're interested in Elvis Presley, you know, okay, here's a documentary or a biopic. That's the first thought that comes to mind. But it's not that. This is something that bridges something into our current political state and also talks about, you know, a complicated icon from the world. I mean, it has Chuck D and the famous line that he painted in there right in the trailer.
Yeah, it's I think he's speaking in metaphor, and he's using Elvis as a metaphor for everything that America stands for and that everything America is in danger of becoming. And I've never seen any film or documentary that would use that kind of poetic license. And when I finally saw the advanced screening, I was pretty blown away at how he glued everything together. It's amazing.
I'll ask about some other stuff. Our own Jim James, Louisville's own Jim James, of course, pops in on here on Miracle Man. In fact, he's on 2 tracks, right? Was it Bobby? Was it
yes.
Bobby?
Yeah. Yes.
And then is that Connor at the end of Shark that I hear as well?
No, it's my old friend Nick Friedis.
Oh, what a similar voice they have, seriously. And of course, you know, maybe I'm just being hopeful here because I'm thinking, well, there it is right there. You know, Jim James is on it. and last time we talked to Jim, you know, he was still hopeful that there was going to be another Monsters of Folk record. Do you find that that's in the cards? Does anybody else want to do that at this point?
We all want to. Yeah, we're always talking about it. Figuring out the calendar is a trick. The amount of time it takes just to do the calendar is it's tricky. And we are going to do something someday, I think. But there's nothing currently on the iCal.
I'm hopeful.
we all are.
Yeah. And while I'm bringing that up, it's also the 10th anniversary of one of your other bands, She and Him. And I saw that, you know, you put out the Equality songs earlier this year. And some other teasing with, you know, the world is waiting for the sunrise on Instagram. It's the 10th anniversary. Is there any plans at all for you all to kind of celebrate that in any way?
Well, it's a similar thing. We're all friends. We all live part-time in Los Angeles. Zoe's full-time down there. But it's just a matter of timing, getting material together. Yeah, there's nothing on the books right now, but I'm sure something's going to happen.
Now I went back and listened to that one, and that, especially the debut one. I mean, I'm a fan of all of them, but that, you know, there's something even iconic about that one. I don't know. As I don't know if you look back much, you know, if you take the time to look at that, or if you've even listened to that record lately, but looking back now, like, you all sort of started something. I mean, you know, indie music or whatever you want to call it was in such a guitar based world, and here She and Him came with Volume One, and I don't know, does it feel like that was the beginning of a its own subgenre? Do you see that?
Well, when I do hear that first record, I'm reminded of the first couple ideas that we had when we met, and she gave me her demos, and they took me back to some of my favorite Phil Spector songs that were on his box set and Back to Mono. And I hadn't listened to those for years, but just listening to these songs and these compositions made me want to go back and discover his, rediscover his production style, because I think there's a lot to be learned from him, strictly musically speaking. And it's too bad that he's a psycho, but the productions stand the test of time. And when I hear our first volume one record, I just think of the how much fun we had trying to combine these different elements and different inspirations.
What a cool record you end up making, like I said, in everything you all do. I look forward to all this stuff, you know, eventually She and Him and the Monsters of Folk. But in the meantime, Matt, it's been a pleasure talking to you about this new record. What a wonderful industry that I get to be part of as well. Lucky enough to be a part of as well.
Well, I appreciate the support. It was nice talking to you, and hopefully see you in Louisville soon. I imagine I'll be there next year sometime.
Yeah, I hope so too. We'll look forward to it. Thank you, sir, very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Hey, big thanks to M. Ward for that conversation right there. The new album is called What a Wonderful Industry, and again, he is part of the movie The King. Don't forget, you can subscribe over at Consequence of Sound's YouTube page to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. Or if you're listening to the podcast, iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you're getting this from, subscribe there now as well to keep up with us. And then if you can leave a rating and a review, then you can head over to WFPK.org, making the rounds on the internet. That's where you'll hear me do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, and where you'll also find bonus episodes of this series. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.